Grab your Bible this morning. We're going to be in Philippians today, chapter number 3. And I am just super, super excited about the truth that we're going to uncover this morning. I would make this statement while you're finding our text this morning. I believe, Brother Terry, that the truth that we're going to look at this morning might be one of the greatest life principles ever discovered, spoken by the Apostle Paul under the Holy Spirit's inspiration. I believe one of the greatest life principles we will ever see. Now, that's quite a statement to qualify the message. I didn't say the message would be great, but the truth is so over the top important. It's not just a great spiritual truth, it is a great mental truth. It's a great relational truth. It is a great physical truth. It will help you physically. It is a great emotional truth. So what in the world could it be, preacher? Well, let's stand together, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 13, and you stay with me as we read just a couple of verses. The apostle says, under the Spirit's inspiration, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What that word apprehended means is to grasp something, or the idea would be to overcome. Paul is saying, I am teaching you a truth that I have not yet fully gotten a hold of. I have not fully, I know it's true, but I'm still overcoming in this area. He says, here it is. But this, say it with me out loud, the next phrase, this what? One thing. Now, you got to hear me for a moment. The phrase one thing means single. It means whole. In other words, he's saying this single thing I do, this whole thing I do. I found this, Brother Money, fascinating as I was putting the message together this week. This is the exact same Greek word that's translated in Matthew 19:6 when the Bible says they are no more twain, talking about marriage, but one flesh. Two different peoples. See, the minute you got married, I no longer exist. Now it's we. There's not two people in your marriage. There's one person in your marriage. You're supposed to be one flesh. That's what God said. Y'all okay? So when the apostle says this one thing I do, he's literally likening it to two people becoming one. No longer these separate things. They are one thing now. This action he's about to take is one action. He says, don't miss it now. This one thing I do, forgetting those things, say it with me out loud, which are what? Behind. And reaching forth unto those things, say it with me out loud, which are what?
Before.
When he looks back on his past, this is that which is behind. He looks forward on his future, this is that which is before him. And he said, this one thing I do, like two people becoming one in marriage, this one action I take, he said, I'm not looking back anymore. Forgetting those things which are behind. Man, that's hard to do. How many of y'all would agree with me? It's hard to forget what's behind us. Especially if there's a lot of pain back there. And especially if there's a lot of success back there. You ever had someone tell you, oh man, I used to be a bus captain. Oh, our church, man, we had one of the greatest churches in town. That's hard to quit talking about that, Brother Ken. And yet Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I don't believe that, preacher. I believe you ought to keep remembering the past. This is King James Bible reading. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Look at verse 14. I press, that next word is a powerful word. Read that third word with me out loud. I press what?
Toward.
Guess what that word toward means? Individually with singleness. He is literally telling us, I am no longer double-minded. A double-minded man is what? unstable in all his ways. He said, I am no longer doing this. Y'all know that if you drive forward looking back, you will get in a wreck. At the very minimum, you're not going to get to your destination as quickly as you could and should. Y'all with me? I know you've heard a lot of preaching about this. We all have. But I'm begging the Holy Spirit of God to show us something this morning. I'm praying this morning would be life transforming. I want to preach this morning on this thought, behind and before. Pray with me if you would, and we're going to jump into the message. Father God, we're so needy. No one in this room more needy than I am. Lord, I know that like the Apostle Paul, I have not yet apprehended. I want this truth to be lived out in my life. I want to grasp it, Lord. I want to be an overcomer. But like the apostle, I have to acknowledge this morning, I am still trying to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. Spirit of God, I beg you, in every corner of this building, in every heart, in every life, in every family, in every marriage, dear God, I pray we'd be yielded enough to you this morning that we would let the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Teach us thy word, Lord. We know that we are sanctified through truth and that thy word is truth. You said it yourself, Jesus. So I'm asking you this morning to use your precious book, Lord, to sanctify thy people. Draw us closer to thee, Lord, I pray. For we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to make sure before we get into the heart of the message that you understand when the Apostle Paul says this, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, he's not just talking about the bad things that are behind. This is a part of the message it's hard to get. He's also talking about the good things that are behind. Are you serious, preacher? Well, look if you will. We're still in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 7. Notice what the apostle says. But what things were, say the next word with me, were what? Gain to me. They were valuable to me. He said, what things were gained to me? Those I counted what? Loss for Christ. That word loss means a detriment. Now don't miss this. If you read verse 5 and 6, you will count 7 religious credentials that the Apostle Paul one day held up as a sign that he was a serious Jew, that he was a great student of the law, that they would have been his credentials. They would have been the badges of honor he wore, and he now viewed them as a liability. He said, all those things that were my qualities that got me in the room, the traits that got me honored, the attributes that got me applauded. He said, all of them are now in my way if I'm going to be what Christ wants me to be. So he's not just talking, Brother Bob, about his bad past. He's even talking about his good past, that all of it's got to be left behind. My goodness. We've heard preaching like this all of our lives, but the truth is, almost none of us believe this, at least in practice. Because we tell people all the time, oh, we used to. Oh, you ought to have seen what we did. Now, it's not wrong to reminisce. It's not wrong to be thankful for the past. But I can't live there, and I can't live for what's there. Are y'all hearing me? I want to dig deep into this truth for a few minutes this morning, but I need some help. And so I've asked Brother Money and Brother Ken and Brother Keith to help me. And so, Brother Keith, if you'll stand, and Brother Brian and Brother Ken, and I've asked Brother Matt to come up here as well. Brother Matt, stand over here by Brother Keith. I want you two, Brother Keith and Brother Matt, to stand over here, and Brother Money and Brother Ken, if you'd stand right over here. And I want to introduce to you this morning 4 words, and actually what it is, it's 2 sets of 2 words. I want us to learn these 4, and they're going to be on the screen, but I want you to see it visually. I want you to be able to picture this. It's such a simple truth this morning, but I want it to dig deep into our souls. I want us to get it. Amen. So where I'm going to start here, we're going to let Brother Matt be the first person on our chart here this morning. And Brother Matt represents the word life. So when I point to Brother Matt, he is what?
Life.
Great. Brother Keith is going to represent energy. And I know it's hard for us to believe this, but we don't have a limitless supply of this. How many of y'all have said as you're getting older, man, I ain't got the energy I used to have? Remember when you was a kid, man, you could stay up till 3 a.m, man. You could get up at, you know, go to, why is every youth camp trip leave at 4 a.m, amen, or 5 a.m? You know why? Because teenagers can't get up because they're going to sleep the whole way there anyway, amen. But Brother Keith represents, Brother Matt represents what?
Life.
Brother Keith is going to represent what?
Energy.
Now, that's one set of words. These are the other two. Brother Ken is going to represent, now, Brother Ken, I'm trying to be nice to you, but he's going to represent history. He's going to represent yesterday, okay? Now, Brother Money is going to represent destiny. He's the future. So these four sets of words are so intricately connected to each other. One more time, Brother Matt represents what? Brother Keith is what?
Energy.
Brother Ken is what?
History.
And Brother Money is what?
Destiny.
Now, I know that's simple, but I want to give you one word to connect all four of these to each other and to really solidify what each one represents. Whenever you and I think of life, you can't miss this. I know we all think we're going to live forever, but I'm going to tell you something. Your days are numbered. So, now I know that's sort of sobering, but they really are numbered. You understand if Jesus tarries his coming, your death is already on the calendar. He knows when you're going to die. Now, when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. But when you get in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're living on borrowed time. I'm picking on Brother Bob this morning for being an old timer, and he said he's 71. I said, that's only 10 years older than me. You're a young man, Brother Bob. Man, you're getting younger. Every time I look at you, you're looking younger. Amen. Remember when 70 sounded like like somebody that was, you know, ready to be, you know, kick the bucket, and now it's like 70. It's like, wow, all those 70-year-olds are so handsome, and all those 70-year-old ladies are so cute. And it's like, you're getting old. What's happening to you? You're getting old. Every one of us have to view our life as though we don't have forever to live. The reason so many people waste time, Brother Todd, is because they don't think they have any, they think it's limitless. Have you ever made this statement? I'm not picking on you because I've made it too, but have you ever made the statement, someone asks you what you're doing, say, oh, just killing some time. Are you kidding me? Don't kill time. You don't have any to waste. Our days are numbered. So when you think of life, you can't forget that life is what?
Numbered.
Say it with me out loud. I want you to get this in your heart. Life is what?
Numbered.
Now, when we think about energy, Brother Keith, it's limited. You and I do not have a limitless supply. The reason I had a pie put on there with the piece missing. You may not know this morning, but most of us have a pie tin that's only got one or two pieces of pie left in it. We've used it up. We've used it up. I remember, Brother Ken, I mean, I still feel like I got a lot of energy, but I remember as a younger pastor, especially with all that we had on our plate there in our church in Michigan and traveling and preaching places. I remember some weeks I'd preach Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, run to the airport Monday morning, go preach somewhere Monday night, usually a Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, jump on an airplane on Wednesday morning, fly back home, do our staff meeting with all of our big pastoral staff every week, then preach to our entire church staff, then have Sunday school teachers meet with all of our Sunday school faculty, then preach and teach Wednesday night, and first thing Thursday morning, jump on an airplane and head somewhere else to preach. Preach Thursday night, Friday night, fly home on Saturday, go out, make some visits, see some folks in the hospital, get a little family time in, and Sunday morning again. Man, I remember weeks, Brother Rod, I would do that 4 and 5 weeks in a row. If I did that today, I'd absolutely collapse. You say, you're falling apart, preacher. No. I'm learning a powerful truth. My energy is limited. Doesn't mean if you're 61 that you ain't got nothing left in your tank, but it means if you're 61, you don't have as much as you had in your tank when you were 51. And you don't have as much in your tank as you had when you were 41. Now, let's remember it one more time. Brother Matt is what? He's life, and life is what? Brother Keith is what? Energy, and our energy is what? Limited. Now, Brother Ken is what? History. Remember this. He represents, now, I want you to really grasp this. He represents what is behind. Talking about our past. Now, Brother Ken, I've heard your testimony and your story. You got a lot of wonderful things in your past. You got a couple of things in your past you wish weren't there. But that's true of every last one of us. We got a history. We've got a past. And it's what's behind us. Now, Brother Money represents our destiny, which is the future. It's what is before us, and it is our potential. Now, please do not miss what I'm about to say. It does not matter what age you are at, what stage you're at in life, you have a history and you have a destiny. Just because you're in your 70s don't mean your destiny is gone. It so breaks my heart, Brother TJ, how many people in their 60s and 70s stop living. So I didn't stop living, preacher. You talk about your past more than you do your future. Say, well, I got a lot more past than I do future. I don't agree with you. If you're saved, you're going to live forever. You've got eons. You've got millions of years ahead of you. You're an infant you're hardly a day old in the economy of God. You're a baby still. Now, I know we struggle with that because we are trapped in the realm we call time. But listen, stop living when you get in your 60s and 70s like your life is over. Your life is just beginning if you're a child of God. I love that song we sing, I Just Started Living. I got a brand new name, got a brand new home. Listen, you are not supposed to act like you're dead when you're 70. Now, here's what happens when you get to be 70. I'm not quite ready for that, guys. Here's what happens when you get to that age. You don't have as much life left, and you don't have as much energy left. But guess what you do have? You have a history, a lot to be thankful for, some stuff you're glad's under the blood. But you still got, if your heart's beating, and you have any life or energy left, you still have potential. Now, here's what I want you to remember this morning. God wants you and I to understand that we have a very limited amount of both time/life and energy. You've got to hear me. Even teenagers need to hear me this morning. You and I have a limited amount of both of these things. This may be one of the simplest truths you're ever going to hear. But it might be one of the most serious you're ever going to hear. I'm going to give you 7 statements this morning. I'm sorry, 8 statements this morning. I've actually got 8. And I want you to, it's not a normal sermon. Thank you, by the way, guys. I won't make you stand up any longer. I'm not going to make you, they're not going to be long points. Everyone's just going to be a few moments. But these are cumulative statements based on this reality that my life is numbered, my energy is limited, I have a history, which is my past, which is behind me, and I have a destiny, my potential, that which is before me. 8 statements. Statement number 1. Everyone and everything has a history and a destiny. I know that's basic, but you got to let this build upon itself. Everyone and everything has a history and has a destiny. This is true of the believer, the individual Christian. Every Christian in this room this morning has a history, and you have a destiny. Every married couple in this room this morning, you have a history and you have a destiny. But it isn't just true of individuals, it's true of our corporate, structure. We are a church. We are a family of God. And our church has a history, but our church also has a destiny. Everybody and everything has a history and a destiny. Statement number two. Each of us has good history and bad history. You know, it's amazing when we're upset, all we remember is the bad history. And when we're trying to convince people it was better than it really was, all we remember is the good history. Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth about your past, same as mine. There's some good stuff in it and there's some bad stuff in it. Oh, man, for the good old days. I like the good old days. I like the simpler times. I like when our culture was more agrarian. People knew how to grow stuff. I remember the days where more folks lived in the country and lived in the city. I'd like to go back to those days. I'd love to go back to the Victorian days when there was no television. Can you imagine how much better of a world we'd be if there was no technology beyond maybe a radio?
Amen.
Now, if you wanted to cross the country, you had to ride on a train. And some of you, based on where you lived and what y'all had in the bank, you might have had to walk to town instead of ride to town. But it didn't hurt you. Walking to town wasn't the worst thing that ever happened. Number one, it kept you on the farm a lot longer. You didn't go to town very often. And going to town was a big deal. Those are all cool things about the past. But what about outhouses? What about no running water except when you ran out and put a bucket down in the well? Hey, what about when the only cash money we had in the family was a little bit of cash Dad got from the tobacco crop we grew? And you got one pair of shoes a year. Amen. If you was really a rich family, you got two pair. And whether they wore out or not, that's what you wore. Hey, I'm not saying there wasn't some great things in the past, but it wasn't quite as hunky-dory as we think sometimes. Hey, listen, everybody has good history. And everybody has bad history. It's simple, but remember this. A person's history is his story. Are you following me? That's why it's called his story. It's his story. Now listen, it's a story from our past. That's what our history is. And all you can do with your history is read it and study it, but you can't change it. I don't care how good or how bad it is, you can't change it this morning. It's your story. So number one, everybody and everything has history and destiny. Number two, each of us has good history and bad history. Number three, all we can do with our good history and our bad history is learn from it and leave it. So I don't want to leave it, preacher. Listen. While I am thankful for many things in my history, I mean, Brother Ken, I am a fourth generation Baptist preacher. My son John is a fifth generation Baptist preacher in our family consecutively. Hey, I am thankful for my heritage this morning. But I can't live there. Dr. Ennis, no one wants to come to my office and say, which was formerly your office, and have me just talk to them about everything that happened yesterday. They want to know, how can I live tomorrow? I got marriage problems. I got kid problems. I got financial problems. Oh, let me tell you about the way it was when I was a kid. Well, wonderful. Pastor, appreciate that, Brother Jenkins. I got this problem. Oh, let me tell you what my dad did. Let me tell you about my grandpa. You realize what people are going to do? They're going to walk in my office and say, that guy's living in the past. He don't understand. I need some help today. Now listen, this is hard to swallow, because especially if we have some good in our past, or if we really got hurt and wounded in our past and we don't feel like the person that hurt us got justice, and we feel like by continuing to focus upon it, we somehow keep it alive. We do. We keep our future dead, and all we focus on is yesterday. Are you listening real close? All we can do with our good history and our bad history is learn from it and then leave it. Number four, here's where it starts getting serious. You cannot live for your history and your destiny at the same time. You cannot live for your history and your destiny at the same time. What did Paul say? I count not myself, look at it in verse 13 again, to have apprehended, but this one thing, single, whole, same word as one flesh, Matthew 19:6. This one thing I do, these two actions, forgetting the past and pressing forward into the future, these two actions are married. It's one action, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. Hey, here's what I can do. I can rejoice over my good history, but I have to, Brother Todd. I have to reject my bad history. What do you mean reject it, preacher? I can no longer give it permission to keep me shackled and to hold me captive. You say, preacher, we've got a divorce in our past. I mean, we're scarred people. I mean, we're second-class Christians. I mean, the best we'll ever... Who told you that? Well, the Bible clearly teaches divorce is wrong. And the people that are divorced in this room believe that more than anybody does. They can tell you the brokenness. They can tell you the hurt. They can tell you the betrayal. They can tell you the split time between him and her with the kids. None of that's good. But I'm here to tell you something this morning, my dear friend. If there is a divorce in your past, and let me make sure you hear this, it's in your past. That doesn't mean there isn't some consequences. Two sets of values, a lot of times kids get trained in a broken home, and that's no good. At dad's house, we get to do one thing. At mom's house, we can't. One spoils them, the other one's trying to be disciplinary. None of that's good. Those are consequences that never go away. But stop introducing yourself to people as somebody who's been divorced. That is not your name. Your name is not divorced and then your title. That's living in the past. Now you got to hear me. We're headed somewhere. Whenever here's why this is so serious. You can't change the past. Only thing you can change is the future. How many people, Brother Money, have no ability to change their future because they're so focused on the past? And I'll tell you what's really a blessing is the people that always keep reminding you of your past. Can I beg every born-again child of God in this room this morning, stop bringing up people's past to them. What you're doing is keeping chained to where they came from and not allowing them to go to where God's trying to take them. Well, I'm just trying to remind them what they were. Aren't you glad God don't do that to you? I think there's a phrase, we sing it, we praise God for, that it's all under the blood. Not just your sin, their sin too. You are not limited by your history. You are only limited by your destiny. You have to decide which one you're going to live for. Statement number five. I told you there's eight. Number five. To reach forth to your destiny, you must volitionally, purposefully, and consciously forget your history. You say, but I'm pretty proud of some things I did in my history, preacher. I know. And the truth is, they were pretty stellar exploits. You were something else, man. I was best basketball player in my high school, man. I'm not talking about me. I'm giving a way that we talk. Set the school score record. Could you do it today? You probably couldn't make it through the first quarter today. Up and down the court, amen. That doesn't mean you didn't have a great... Hey, thank God they immortalized you. They put your name on the bulletin board. Somewhere you're in the record books, but guess what? How many people do you know are still talking about the shot they missed in the quarterfinals when they were senior high school and they're in their 50s? They're living in the past. They're trapped there because they have a good memory there. To reach forth to my destiny, I have to volitionally, purposely, and consciously forget my history. It is so hard to do, especially those things you once counted gain. You say, I don't know why this is such a big deal, preacher. It is hard to forget people and places and pain that are in your past. There's a whole doctrine, I don't have time to get into it this morning, called soul ties. There are healthy soul ties and there are unhealthy soul ties. David and Jonathan were told loved each other as their own soul. They had a healthy soul tie. Many of us got involved with people, got connected to people, got around people as we were growing up that were not healthy for us. You dated somebody. You got involved with someone. Didn't have your destiny in mind. All they were worrying about was themselves. And all you got today from that relationship is scars, but you might have something else. You might have a soul tie. Do you realize that especially if it was another, someone you were dating or someone you thought you were in love with, if you don't deal properly with that soul tie, every relationship in your future has that connection to it. So there are people that are married, Brother Christian, that have two or three people in their marriage with them and nobody even knows they're there. They have a soul tie they've never broken. I'll preach that another sermon. I didn't get time to get in that this morning. But I'm illustrating something this morning. Y'all understand the terminology of codependency? You ever heard that phrase? A child is in a relationship where they've been abused physically, verbally, sexually, emotionally, and they won't turn on the person that abused them. The person probably needs to be in penitentiary somewhere. At the very minimum, needs to have no more access whatsoever to that person. And yet they'll protect and lie to protect the person. You know why? It's called codependency. That's why a lady whose husband's a drunk will come in time and again and beat her. And when he gets sober, he said, I'll never do that again. And she keeps giving him another chance. You know why? Because of codependency. And it's one of the worst things. Hey, listen. Ladies, if there's a man you've been married to that's been abusing you, he needs to get in trouble with the law, and he needs to go down the road. Do not subject your children to abuse because you don't know how to forget the past. So, well, I got so many memories with him. Yeah, and they're not very many good ones, are there? I'm not trying to hurt anybody and bring up any pain of your past this morning, but we cannot move forward if we stay chained to this. And I want to remind you who told us this. A guy inspired of the Holy Spirit, who next to Jesus might be the greatest believer, the greatest Christian that ever lived in the New Testament age. He told us he couldn't do it. So how can you and I do it if he couldn't do it? Are you all with me? Number six. It's all fitting together. Because we only have a limited amount. Remember, Brother Keith and Brother Matt, of both life and energy. This is why I have to volitionally and purposefully and consciously forget my history if I want to reach forth to my destiny, because I only have a limited amount of life and energy. Let me illustrate it. I'm nearing the finish line. If I use 40% of my energy, I got 100% of my energy still intact. Chances are I don't. It's limited. But let's say I have all of my energy still available to me. If I use 40% of my life and energy looking back, I only have 60% to look forward. I wonder why we can't get to our destiny. We don't have a full complement. Our gas tank isn't full. Our gas tank's only got 60% of the tank in it because we've used the other 40 to do this. But a lot of us are worse than 40-60. What if I use 50% of my energy, my life, my time doing this? Guess what I got available for my destiny? Only 50%. I hate to say this, but many people's case, it's worse than that. What if I use 60% of my energy in my life, Brother Ken, to look back? I've only got 40%. Folks, the math, you can't skew the math. It either is, it's 2 plus 2 is still 4. I don't care what you believe. It doesn't change basic mathematics. And so many people, Brother John, want God's blessing, want their family in the will of God, want to reach their destiny, want to see great things happen, but they're living like this, hoping for that. Now, I'm not picking on my wife. She don't like me to do this. But she has got a very subtle and a very gracious way of telling me to shut up. And I'm going to be honest with you. We've been married this June, Brother Michael, it'll be 40 years. And it has taken me about 35 years of our marriage to get the hints. I'll be blabbing away. Dr. Ennis, I got something I'm upset about. Somebody I'm frustrated with, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm sort of sharing, using her as a sounding board, and she'll say, I can't take that anymore. Now, she's not telling me to shut up, but she's really telling me to shut up. What she's saying to me is, when I can't take it anymore, I can't argue, I can't keep saying it, because she's telling me her spirit can't handle it. So I got to shut up. But she's saying something way deeper to me, too. Why won't you live for your destiny? Why do the hurts, why do the pains, why do the past, does it keep dominating your mind? And the answer is, because I keep living there. Oh, I want God to do something great. No, I don't. I get comfort from this. You know why most people, Brother Ken, always talk about the past? I don't care if it's good or bad. It's just what they're used to. It's their comfort zone. Someone said to me the other day, this, and I'm praying God will add 30 new families to our church. I like that. But you know, most of us really don't want God to add 30 new families to our church. Because if 30 new families come to our church, number one, they're not all perfect. Odds are, if there's 30, there's going to be as many of them messed up as there is of us. And their kids are going to be messed up. Their marriage is going to be messed up. And guess what? They're going to bring a bunch of problems to us. So just let them all go away. Well, what happens if your future son-in-law or daughter-in-law is in that group? What happens, young man, young lady, if your future husband or wife's in that group? No, bring them on. Well, guess what? If I want to be a pastor of 30 more people and still be a good pastor of all you, I got a lot of work to do. I got to be to all of them what I am supposed to and trying to be to you. Guess what I'm saying? If I'm going to pastor, Brother Mike, 30 more families, John Jenkins ain't got an hour. He doesn't have a minute to focus on my past, my hurts, or even my accomplishments. Man, I got a loaded train in front of me. I got to work my tail off to do good at that. But most of us would rather have nobody new in our life so we can keep doing this. You know, a lot of people with money don't even want help for their problem because their problem has become their excuse. Well, I don't have to be faithful. Everybody knows I got problems. You can live that way if you want. My problem is I got a Bible, and my Bible says he's come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. So being an overcomer is possible. By the way, I'm not saying to anyone this morning, nor do I believe the Holy Spirit is saying this, that you can't say praise the Lord for something you did in the past. But you can't live there. Every moment I spend looking backward is no longer available to me to look forward. In that sense, Brother Rob, my past has the ability to sabotage my potential. Here's, I think, how we get this all tied together. Psalms 90 says in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, meaning 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. and we fly away. Do you understand? I think that verse is one of the slides, Brother Jeff. If I'm 70, I've reached the apex of what God said I had a good chance of having. Now, if I'm 80, oh, good night, I'm living on borrowed time. Man, God's been real good. He gave me good health if I'm 80. You know that this coming week, my dad's going to turn 91. My dad is 30 years older than me, and he's still kicking. He preached last Sunday. Now listen. Whether you're 15 or whether you're 85 this morning, you only have a limited amount of life, and you only have a limited amount of energy. Here's what we have to pray. David prayed, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What does it mean, preacher, to number your days? It is a very sobering exercise to stop counting your life in years and start counting it in days. It's sobering. You know, they tell us that a child's full character is developed by the age of 5. They got a lot to learn, but if they're a liar at age 5, they're going to probably be a liar their whole life. If they're lazy at age 5, they're probably going to be lazy their whole life. If they're inquisitive, if they're friendly, if they're kind, it's going to be the way they're going to be the rest of their life. So those first 5 years are the most important years of their life. By the way, mom and dad, you got to be there. You can't be working overtime every week when they're that age. You got to be there. They learn that far more is caught than taught. You can tell your child to do what you say, not what you do, and they're going to do exactly what you do. Do you know how long 5 years is? It's only 1,825 days. In 1,800 days, you're deciding whether your child's going to be something great or just going to be a nobody. I don't know about you. I don't want to waste one of those days if all I got is 1,800 of them. If you're 18, I know you think you're going to live till ever. Do you know that if you're 18 in this room this morning, you are going to be 30 in only 4,380 days? Some of you 18-year-olds look at these 30-year-olds and think, oh, they're already old fogies. They're already, I mean, Neanderthal people. I mean, look how fuddy-duddy they are. You're only 4,300 days away from me, just as weird. Hey, if you're 18 in this room this morning, do you know that you are only 8,000 days away from being 40? 8,000 days. 8,030 to be exact. You're going to be 40. You won't believe how quick it passes. You ever had someone say when you had younger kids, parents, boy, you better appreciate it. You won't believe how fast they'll be growing up. You know, I don't want them to grow up. They're driving me nuts. And you, just a couple days pass and you're at their graduation. Then your boy's talking about the engagement ring, and then they're talking about marriage, and then before you know it, the first grandbaby's on the way. It happens so fast you can't even believe it. Hey, for us old timers, if 70's the year that God said is normal, and I'm 61, do you know what that means? That means I got 3,778 days. Brother Rob, that's all I got. Less than 3,800 days, and I'm going to be a 70-year-old man. What about 80? Well, that's a long way away. You know how far 80 is away from me? Just a little over 9,000 days. Let me give you statement number 7 this morning. I told you there's 8. Number 7. Individual people, marriage partners, church families that focus on their past, their legacy, will rarely reach their potential. Listen to me. You can't do both. Oh, man, we have a great church. Oh, we have a great marriage. Oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord. What's happening tomorrow? Well, let me tell you about yesterday. Yesterday can't be relived. Any lessons we can learn from it? Great. We can rejoice. Man, God did some great. Praise the Lord. What are we going to do tomorrow? Here's what I don't want to do, Brother Matt. I don't want to waste the last 10 or 15 years of my life because I can't get over the last 10 or 15 years of my life. Literally, I hope I ain't hurt nobody's feelings, but literally this is when you start to die. When you stop, when you keep doing this, you've already, you basically, they haven't measured you for the box yet, but you're ready for death. But when you do this, I ain't focusing on that. You know something I thank God for when I think of Dr. Ennis? I'm glad that Dr. Ennis's young age of 82, he's still preaching. He's still traveling to meetings. You know what Dr. Ennis said? I may not have the day-to-day burdens of the church, but I ain't going to quit serving God. You know what he's decided to do? He ain't going to die yet. Dr. Ennis, I want you to live, I hope, 10, 15 more years at least. Wouldn't it be awesome, Dr. Ennis, being, I wouldn't mind if we got to see him get to 100. How would that be awesome or what? Miss Melba did it. Preacher, maybe you got as good genes as Miss Melba does. Amen. Hey, listen. If that's true, Dr. Ennis still got 18 years ahead of him. Why would he take the next 18 years and just talk about the last 18? Thank God for the good things in the past. But I'm living for tomorrow. I'm living for the next soul. I'm living for the next family. I'm living for the next life. I'm living for the next person I can touch for the Lord. Remember Exodus 3:14? You probably don't, but you'll remember what it says. Remember, Genesis 2 tells us, and 1 says, you and I were made in God's image. What happens in Exodus chapter 3, that's where God tells Moses he's going to lead his children out of bondage in Egypt, and that he's called Moses to do it, and Moses starts giving God excuses, and you remember, he said, Lord, who am I going to tell them sent me? And he said, here's what I want you to tell them, I am that I am is who sent you. In other words, he said, the God of the present tense. He didn't say, tell them I was sent you. He didn't say, tell them I'm going to be sent you. He said, you tell them I am sent you. Hey, listen, if we're made in God's image, guess what that means we're supposed to do? We're supposed to live in the present tense. Not I was, not I'm going to be in heaven one day, but right now today I want to bring a bunch of heaven to this earth. I want to help somebody else find Jesus. I want to help some other discouraged saint get back in the race. I got too much work to do to sit here and talk about yesterday. Statement number 8, this is it. I get the truth, preacher. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But how do I deal with this? I keep trying not to keep looking over my shoulder, but I keep doing it. Here's how you deal with the past. How do we deal with our past? Number 8. What about financial obligations? What do I do, preacher? I made some mistakes. I wronged some people. There's some people to this day that could come up to me and get in my face and tell me, I loaned you money. I rented you a house. I sold you a car, and you never made it right. What do I do when I look past, preacher? How do I forget the past? What about my past financial obligations? Here's what you do. Make it right. Make it right. Well, I thought I was supposed to forget the past, not the things you did wrong that you never made right. That's why a lot of people can't get it in gear, because they're trying to build the future on something that's broken in the past. I don't know if y'all noticed it. When you come under the 42 bridge out here on 70, and you take that first turn there, you know, one block before Clayton High School, and you do that little loop that brings you back out to 70. I don't know if you noticed, but when you make that little loop and right before you get blended back into 70, there's a house that caught on fire right there on the right. And I come to work that way every day, so I see, I've been looking at it for a long time. I knew that I had a fire, Brother Money, because you could see out both ends of the house and the upper of the house especially. You could see that there was all kinds of smoke damage. Some fire damage, but mainly smoke damage. Here just a few weeks ago, they tore the whole roof off that thing. And all the trusses, Brother Gabe, were still standing. Now, they were all black, but they were standing. And I told Debbie, I said, you know, I bet they're going to do. I bet they're going to just tie those into those trusses, you know, put new wood on there. I bet that's what they're going to do. I am so glad that's not what they did. A few days later, I come by there, and there wasn't no roof on that place. I mean, they tore the whole thing off. Go by there this morning. There's a roof on there now. They started over. You know what they said? This house isn't so bad burnt that we got to tear it to the ground. But we're getting rid of everything that's damaged. You understand how easy it would have been for them to scab those trusses together, put drywall over it, put new shingles on it, and sell somebody a, oh, your house was on fire, but it's been remodeled. Yeah, everything I can see has been. But half the trusses are charred and burned. Now, it may have been a building inspector made them do it, but I'm glad whoever did that house realized that somebody's got to live there one day with their kids and grandbabies, and they wanted to make sure it was right. Most of us could have revival break out in our life this morning if we'd look back at the financial obligations we had we did not make right. You say, but preacher, I wronged some people. Now, this may not happen, Brother Danny, but I've seen this happen more than once. You reach out and tell them you want to make it right, they may tell you, forget about it. Just the phone call was all I needed. I'm thinking years ago when I was a kid, there was two families in my dad's church that he pastored there in Jackson, Michigan. One family had a farm, and the other family was trying to be farmers. Had a few goats and some things. And they bought some hay from the guy that was a bigger league farmer, and they never paid him. I mean, that thing nearly turned into a church split over that hay. Do you mean to tell me you're going to ruin your life over 100 stinking bales of grass? Brother Rob, both families ended up getting out of church over 100 bales of grass. What should have been done, the guy that owed that money should have went back and said, I'm a jerk. I don't care if it was all moldy. You at least go to the guy and negotiate with him. The family that sold the hay, they got their feelings hurt. That's Christianity. I don't want nothing to do with it. The family that never paid it back, they couldn't show face to them, so they disappeared. And all the while, because of Jesus Christ suffers. Make it right. You won't believe how you'll sleep at night if you can truly say there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Amen. What do I do, preacher, in the past about emotional hurts? I mean, I've been wounded. There is no doubt in my mind this morning, there are some people in this room this morning that have been wounded beyond anything most of the rest of us could even comprehend. Abuse of all sorts. If I could get my hands on the abuser, I'd help make it right. But some of you, the person abused you ain't even alive no more. How do I get over it, preacher? I know this is a tough one. This is a deep one. But you got to forgive them. I said you got to forgive them. Say they don't deserve to be forgiven. Neither did you. Neither did I. But remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, here's how I want you to pray. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, I'm as forgiven this morning as I've given forgiveness. That may take a counseling appointment or two. That may take some time. But you got to forgive them. Well, preacher, you've talked about the negative. What about all the great stuff I did in the past? I mean, you're looking at somebody, man. I was top salesman at my company. I was destined to become president. Best preacher in the state of North Carolina. Man, I was in demand everywhere. Well, y'all don't know how great I was at Michigan, man. I was great. I doubt that it's quite as true as you think it is, but even if it is, here's what you got to do with any success you've had. Thank God for it and forget about it. Just thank God for it and forget about it. When I first came to Fellowship Baptist Church a little over 3.5 years ago, Brother Dave told more stories about where I came from than I do today. I still occasionally will give an illustration from the past because it helps me illustrate something I'm trying to teach. But I'm trying to talk less and less about where I came from. Not because I'm ashamed of it, but that's not where I'm at anymore. I'm your pastor. My teenagers live in Johnson County, North Carolina, and Wake County, North Carolina. That's where my teenagers live. This is my home. This is my church. You're my people. We're co-laboring together. This is what my destiny is about. Nothing that happened in the past is a part of my destiny today. If you don't believe me, if you don't stop it, there will be no destiny. I had to learn the hard way. I'm telling you some very personal things. I know this is going to be hard for some people to swallow. I'm even careful how much I talk about our son Brandon going to heaven with some people. There are some people that are hurting and they're heartbroken, and they don't want to hear about my hurts and my heartbrokenness. They'll even be friendly, but in their mind they're thinking, I ain't talking to him no more. Every time I talk to him, he tells me about the things that hurt him. And while I can't help the fact it still hurts, that my son's doing fine this morning. I'm sure every time I mention that, he's saying, Dad, stop talking about it like it's so bad. It ain't bad. I'm in heaven. I'm living forever. I got a new heart. I'm doing great, Dad. I know you miss me, but get ready to come see me. Bring as many people with you, Dad, as you can. It's too wonderful of a place for anybody to miss it. I love you to death. I'm not trying to hurt you. This is not a shouting message. This is an oh me service. You say, what do I do, preacher, about the wrongs that have not been made right? Because when you and I look back, wrongs against us and wrongs we're guilty of. Here's what to do. Make the necessary restitution. Make the apologies. Make the amends. What that is that it's putting your history in a proper perspective so you can reach forth to your destiny. Here's what you and I need to do, and I'm done this morning. We better develop the ability to forgive and move on, or we will stay crippled, we will stay conflicted, we will stay critical all of our life. Survival necessitates that I develop the ability to forgive and to move on. I don't just move on because I'm a nice person. I move on. Listen, I'm done. Because it costs me too much energy that I need to get where I'm going. If I give my history too much energy, I won't have the energy I need to get to my destiny. How many times have we or somebody we know missed our destiny because we were putting too much energy and time into our history? I don't have the resources, and neither do you. Both our past and our potential cannot get equal time and energy. Whatever I give to this, I cannot give to this. And the more and more I give to this, the less and less I have give to this. You say, I don't know if this is all scripture, preacher. I happen to believe a little different. Well, look, if you will, if you're still in Philippians 3, here's where we're going to end this morning. Look at Philippians 3. We've been in verse 13 and 14, but let's go back to verse 10. Would you look at it? This is where we'll wind up this morning. Philippians 3:10. Right before our text, where Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, he said that I may what? Know him. Guess what he's talking about? It's all about Jesus. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Look at this. Being made conformable unto his death. Colossians 3:3 says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me. Hey, listen. This is all about knowing him better. Look at verse number 12. The apostle says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Read it with me. Would you out loud after the word but? But what? I follow after. You know what Paul just said? Folks, he said, I'm following Jesus. That's what I'm doing. He said, if that I may be apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, you know what I want to do? Jesus saved me because he wanted to take my wrecked life and turn it into something special. And he said, the only way I can keep following Jesus and get to know him better and better is I got to stop living this way. And I got to live this way. Jesus got approached one day. And here's what a certain man said to him. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, follow me may not get you nothing. If you're looking for an easy way, if you're looking for blessings, that's the wrong reason to follow me. I ain't got nothing to give you physical, but I got something way better. I got something spiritual to give you. And then he gives this interesting verse. He said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. Now this sounds harsh, but listen to what Jesus said next. Luke 9:60. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. The next verse, verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Here's the end of the message. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, would you say it with me out loud? And what? Looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Brother Money, for years I read that verse and thought that he was scolding us. If you're looking back, bless God, you ain't worth nothing. You're useless. That isn't what he said. You know what the word fit's talking about? It's talking about Abel. He's not scolding, he's instructing. He's not rebuking. What he's saying is, if you're looking back, there's no way you're going to get over there. You won't be fit for it. You won't have the ability. You won't have the energy. You won't have the time. Have you ever watched somebody plow a field that was looking back? You know what their rows look like, Brother Roy? Just like when you're driving in Texas. We all know you're Texan because you're swerving and it's too early for you to be drunk. When I see people doing that, I want to get up there and give them peace of my mind and say, son, there's people out here going to get killed if you don't pay attention to the road, what's in front of you. Hey, friend, I love you to death this morning. All I've been trying to do is be pastoral this morning. I don't know what your destiny is, but it's greater than you can imagine. But you can't get to it if you're doing this. I know probably the older you are, the harder it is to take this truth. But I want you, and I know Jesus wants you, to be fit for the kingdom of God.